of the earlier. And
now, once again, here's...
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and if I sound a little bit discombobulated, I am. This morning I woke up, and I thought the Forest Service had stuck two big trucks out in the forest, and I had said to them, do you want me to kind of cover up the holes? And he says, yeah, that'd be fine. So I thought, I'll go do that, and then I'll grade a couple of the paths, and then I'll come back. Didn't turn out that way. First thing that happened is I went underneath the tree. I have an orange light on the top of the tractor, blew the light off of it. But I didn't know that, so I went down and graded the road. As I came back, there's my light on the ground. I go, oh, some idiot knocked their light off. So I get closer, and I can see it's just like mine. So I step up on the front of the tractor, and I don't have mine anymore, and none of the wiring and none of the mounts or anything. So I head on over to the gate. We have two gates, and I'm coming in for radio, and it's about a quarter of, and I got this. And I can't get the lock open. So now it's 10 of. So I got to drive about a half mile all the way around, come in the back door, run in here, and get ready. And so I said to Gil, who saves me from this stuff all the time, I say to Gil, I might be a few minutes late, so you might want to be prepared for that. But I got here on time. So I've had a rough morning, but it's always my pleasure to serve you. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, that's the phone number to use, 602-508-0960. Action Auto Repair, Tom has been a friend of mine for years and years and years. He's at I-17 in Deer Valley. What I like about him is he's a full-service, family-owned auto repair shop that's been in Deer Valley since 1983. So you don't stick around that long if you're ripping people off and if your prices are sky high. And I can name 10 shops that did that in the last year that are gone now. So it's just a matter of, I think consumers are a little smarter than we give them credit for. And they know how to compare prices. They know how to do lots of stuff. So you have to be on your toes, but you have to be honest and courtesy. That's Action Auto Repair. Working on cars has never been easy, especially when you get a code. Let me tell you now, the code only means that the computer sees a problem in that area. So it might very well say, I've got a cylinder contribution, number 4, that's lower than it should be. Well, a cylinder contribution is that it's pumping the same horsepower as the other three cylinders, and it's participating in the power band of the engine. So, do you have an injector bad? Do you have a spark plug bad? Do you have a coil bad? Have you got compression problems? Have you blown a head gasket? All of that stuff is part of that code. And it can be something that's not even that, but is related to that. So, it's a matter of, you can read the code, but the code just tells you what state the problem's in. You still got to find the city, the street, the number, and the zip code. So it's not that easy. So those of you that go to the auto parts store and you talk to the three-whiskered kid and you says you need O sensors and he says you got 3 of them, you really need to do all 3 of them at the same time, you take those and put the 3 in and I can virtually guarantee you, you're still going to have the same problem. Oxygen sensors... I want you to pretend it's a 1-volt signal. It's from 0.1 to 1.00. So it's got one range, so to speak, of 1 through 5. And so 1 is lean and 5 is rich. Otherwise, 1, I don't see enough fuel, and 5 is, hey, stop dumping, it's raining in here. So the oxygen sensor sees a lean condition, and it says, I got a lean condition. And the first thing everybody does is look for a vacuum leak or something like that. That's the right trail, but it could be the EGR valve. It could be the air conditioning. A hose has come off underneath the dash. There's just a multiple of places. And the normal rate for the city right now is between, probably $125 all the way up to $225 to diagnose the problem. And here's the best you can hope for. You can best hope for $125, and this, it sounds like this. I found out the problem, and you had an EGR valve stuck open. I took the EGR valve off, and there's a piece of carbon in there. I cleaned it all out. I blew it all up. I put it back in. I didn't replace the PCV valve, and you owe me $150 or $175. That's the best you can hope for. And if you look at the code And then if you're seasoned enough, you go, this is a lean condition, and you look around and the PCV valve hose is collapsed, and then you go, okay, that's it. That's what we do. But what's really wrong in our industry, and by the way, this phone number is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. What's going on in our industry is that we used to see your car every 3,000 miles, and during that 3,000-mile oil change, we're supposed to, and we still do as an industry, we check the tires, the belts, the hoses, and all the fluids. And if you have a check engine light, we'll glance at the code for you. Because glancing just gives us the code. You got to go in and find out what's causing the code. So we had that starting when I started in 1968 to now is the oil changes. But here's the problem. Some of you have cars that are 5, 8, and 10, and some 15,000 miles between oil changes. Well, a lot of our business just went bye-bye. Because now the oil changes have been extended well past 3,000 miles, so we don't have the opportunity to say, you need a tire rotation, your hoses are old, we need to flush your cooling system, we need to flush your transmission, we need to flush your injectors, and those are called the flushes in my book. So they have all this stuff that they told you at 3,000, and 50% of it was correct. 50% of it was timed appropriately. But you can imagine, with everything now at, I mean, spark plugs are 100,000 miles. and so that makes a big difference. Back then, we got to change your plugs at 25 or 30. So what's happening is there's lots of shops out there that are coming back with that same rap. Oh, your transmission needs service. And what you need to do is you say this. You know, I need some time to digest that. Would you just put that on the work order or just write it on the back of your card? Needs transmission service. Would you do that for me, please? If they're lying to you or if they think the technician is lying to them, they're not going to do that. They're just not going to do that. And if you reach over to your caller and you go, I'm here and I'm getting ready to leave. I'm here and I'm getting ready to leave. Then they're going, why is he wired? And then they go, I bet he works for the Attorney General's office. I'm making fun of the whole process, but that's really how it goes. So it's important for you to look at that. I got callers. Who's the first one, Gil?
Say hello to Alan.
Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm actually calling regarding my daughter's vehicle. I've kind of been involved in the past year and a half. It's a 2013 Nissan Pathfinder. It's a six-cylinder. Got 88,000 miles. We've had a couple alternator replacements in the last year and a half and a battery change. And we just noticed, she told me the other couple weeks ago, that she was starting to have the same problem where she would, at an intersection, which kind of scares her, step on the accelerator, kind of go, and then it would die down where it would only go like 3 to 5 miles an hour. And then to get through the intersection, then it will kick back on and go. No check engine light this time, where the other times there was a check engine light. So the last couple of weeks I've been checking her battery. It's been at static 12.6. When we go to start it, it goes down to 10.5 to 11. But the charging, when the engine's going, is at 15.4, which I believe is way too high.
Well, it's not way too high, but we have a lot of imports that are up in the 15 range. But the regulator is going to tell the alternator what to do. So if the regulator sees a low voltage, lower voltage than it likes, then it tells the alternator, wind up, give me some juice, let's charge the battery. It's not the battery that's causing your problem. It can't be the battery that's causing your problem. It just doesn't.
It's a brand new battery, actually. It's 7 months old.
Alan, listen to me. I'm not talking batteries with you, with your symptoms. It's just not the battery. I don't care what Mr. Google says. I don't care.
No.
See, you should have started off with, what's a fully charged battery? I'd say 13 volts. What does it do when you start it up? The floor is 9.6. I think that just kind of blows your whole hypothesis away. That's what you had. So what you've got is you hammer the throttle, it falls on its face, and then you get across the intersection, and then it goes. The question is that fuel, if we got a problem with fuel, the hesitation and fallout, it could be a transmission low on fluid, but I can assure you all you need to do is have a technician drive it, and we'll be able to figure that out. It's just really a matter of, I'm sitting there, one of the things I'd put on it is I'd put a fuel gauge on it and I'd go drive it and see if I can get it to happen. And maybe the fuel filter's plugged, maybe it's falling on its face because the fuel pressure regulator's bad. There's all those possibilities. But you're not going to fix them by replacing the battery. And here's my, I'm this confident. I'm not going to make you bet, because you could go in and you could do things and then I would end up. It's just not the battery, Alan. Who we got next, Gil?
We have Brian.
Brian, good morning.
Hey, Mark. Got a quick question. My daughter inherited a 1992 Isuzu Trooper from a lady from work, original 75,000 miles, and she was the original owner.
Okay.
The AC is out on it, and I don't think it was ever converted to the new Freon. So what are we looking at as far as that whole process of putting on a dryer and what additional parts?
Well, that's not where we start, but you can if you want. You could, if you're going to convert it, you could spend $1,000 if you want.
1 minute.
I mean, what's the matter with putting R12 back in it?
I thought they always had to be converted to the new Freon.
We're not converting anything. We're not. There's no law that says we have to convert old cars. Here's what good shops are going to do. They're going to take it in and they're going to see if they can get the compressors to cycle. We're going to short it out. Otherwise, we're going to take the power, a source of power, and hit the little thing on the clutch and see if the clutch activates. Yes, it does. Okay. I'm going to do that for 10 seconds, maybe a minute and a half. I don't want to see the compressor kicked out because I'm forcing it to come on. Okay, the magnet's fine, the compressor's fine because it ain't rattling, and I know the electrical's good. So now at this point, I'm going to put some gauges on it. It's low on Freon. I'm not going to evacuate it. I'm going to flush it, put some new Freon in it. And then I'm going to figure out where the leak is at. And if it's at the front of the compressor, I'm going to say, hey, let's just put a compressor on it. It's cheaper. It's better. And you say, yeah, okay. So I put the new Freon in it. And if there's any in it now, we just suck it out and save it. And we clean it up and sell it back to you. Your car holds 18 ounces, but I pulled 4 out of it. So I cleaned it up. So I'm going to give you those 4 back, but there is a charge of $15 to clean up yours, take the water out of it, and put it back in your car. So that's kind of how it works. But that you just go into the shop and say, this is an old air conditioning system. Can you put it back with R12? And there's a whole lot of gray-haired guys that are going to say, yeah. It's not, and there's no problem with parts either.
Fantastic.
What part of town do you live in?
She lives in Gilbert.
Okay, I'd go to Thompson's Auto Repair on Stapley in Maine. Thompson's Auto Repair in Stapley in Maine. And another thing, too, when you change the refrigerant to the newer one, 134, there's a new oil for your compressor. I'm telling you, you could spend $1,000 converting that. But there's no law you have to, okay? Take that to the bank. The phone number is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. If you'd like to talk cars, here's the number, 602-508-0960. Gil says all 5 lines are open, 602-508-0960. So we talk on the brakes. And Gil says to me, Gil, relay exactly what you said to me.
Well, I was mentioning the day that you're having, I would not mind at all if you swished liquor with milk with your coffee this morning.
Well, I like coffee, but I don't like liquor in my coffee. But it is just funny because I've had a bad morning, a really bad morning, and it's okay. It's just the, you know, there's a lot of people that had worse mornings this morning than I do, so I'm kind of grateful that I'm not hurt real bad. I haven't pulled my pants off to see what's dripping down my leg after the falling out of the tractor. It's basically falling out of the tractor. Nevertheless, I haven't been drinking, and I'm not going to follow Gil's advice. 602-508-0960 if you have a car question, 602-508-0960. I think it was Alan who said that you hit the gas on this Pathfinder and it falls on its face and it kind of chugs, and then all of a sudden it really kind of comes back alive. And I'm reminded by guys that call me on my cell phone that, you know, that problem, it could be computer, that it saw something it didn't like and put you in limp mode. It could be spark or fuel. And that's what the diagnostic caller or dollars are for. We have to determine what system is associated with this, and then we can take that system and start looking at all the parameters. I'll give you an idea of parameters. The oxygen sensor. My God, the oxygen sensor. They're sold like candy bars. The oxygen sensor is a 5-volt switch. It goes into your exhaust. 5 volts. When the computer looks at the oxygen sensor, it expects to see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and every derivative in the middle. Otherwise, every 16th of an inch. It can say 1.16. So we know that low numbers are lean and high numbers are rich. Otherwise, lean means not enough fuel, a hell of a lot of air. Rich means hell of a lot of fuel and not enough air. Okay, that's the parameters. So think about this. If we have a lean condition, we have to determine either why the fuel is substandard or where's the extra air coming from. That could be a gasket on the intake. It could be the EGR is stuck open. It could be a vacuum line that's fallen off. But you still got to find it. So in many cases, it takes $120 to find it and $6.50 to fix it. That's all. Those are the things we have. And so when you go on the internet and you give them a code of 33 or a code of 68, there's going to be 150 young guys there, and once or twice I see a girl, and they're going to all tell you something different. And if you want to, then you just go down to the AutoZone store or O'Reilly's or NAPA and just order everything they've said. And then this is what typically happens. After you loaded up the car with new stuff, you still have to take it to a shop. And this is what it is from my point of view. We open up the hood and we see spark plugs are new, wires are new, throttle position sensors new, O2 sensors are new, all that kind of stuff. And at that point, the technician will say, "Bobby, come over here. Look at this. Do you think that somebody was guessing with parts?" And Bobby shakes his head, "Yeah, that's the typical thing." And he goes, "You know what it's in here for?" And he goes, "No." He said, "It's in here because he has a lean condition." "Well, why didn't he replace the O2 sensors?" "Well, he did. They're brand new, too." And he says, "He just couldn't figure it out." Well, Mr. Google couldn't help him. He had a brake booster that was bad, so when he applied the brakes, it creates a vacuum leak, which is too much air and not enough fuel. Well, the O2 sensor says 1 to 2, 1 to 2, 1 to 2. Keep in mind, 3 to 4 is rich, too much fuel. 1 to 2 is too little air. And this has the ability to be real precise. It can be 30 and 20. I mean, what we want to do is we want to spray a little bit of propane in the mouth of the engine, and we're looking at the O2 sensor with our $4,000 scanner, not any little cigarette package that you buy and think you're going to diagnose the car. And so we spray a little fuel, we make the engine think, well, we actually cause the engine to think that it has too much fuel. And all of a sudden, the O2 sensor doesn't move. So then we pull a vacuum line off and cause it to go lean. We expect the O2 sensor that's normally 1 through 5 volts, we expect it to go to 1. And it doesn't. Then we look down at the O2 sensor and the wires are burned on the exhaust. So you get out your stuff, cut the wires, and we don't even know if it's going to survive, but we're going to try to make yours survive. So we start it back up, count to 10, get it warm, and we look at it and it's 2.67. Well, that's where it should be. 1 to 5, it should be in the middle all the time. So at that particular point, you got $100, $125 to find it, and you got another $25 to fix it. Here's your car back. That's what it's all about. Another thing our industry is doing right now is selling lots of fluids. Did you know that every single car on the road needs spark plugs at 50,000 miles, and it needs an oil change at 5 to 8 because we're in Arizona? And it needs fan belts. You can't afford to go past 50,000 miles. None of that is true as far as I'm concerned. You need to open your owner's manual and look at your owner's manual. Spark plugs are typically on anything the last 5 years, spark plugs are 100,000 miles. Coolant's 100,000 miles. Transmission fluid might be 80, but closer to 100. The fan belt's typically 80 to 100. We'll do the cooling system at the same time, do all the fan belts. So it's a long time. So you're still got guys out there that are trimming those down because there's not enough work. So they're starving to death, so the only thing they can do is they can say, Mrs. Jones, you need to have your brake fluid flushed. That can cause a lot of damage, and it can wipe out the master cylinder, the proportioning valve, and every wheel cylinder on the car, and Mrs. Jones has no idea what the heck I just said. And ma'am, that can cost $2,000, but the brake fluid flush is only $195. So if I put new brake fluid in it, then that will eliminate that problem, which is crazy all by itself. And so that, be wary when you hear that. And then especially you women, if the voice is in your head, when your husband tells you a fib or your son tells you a fib, when you get that feeling, then you say, you know, my husband's a guru of that. What I'd like you to do is, here's a piece of paper. Can you have a piece of paper? Just write down what you told me. Just write down, I need a brake fluid flush, and write it down, and then just sign your name, and then write the date and the time, and give me your phone number so I can reschedule. If he's lying to you, he ain't never going to do that. Well, I'm not allowed to give you my name and phone number. That's the best one. I'm not allowed to give you my name and phone. Well, I have your name already because your name's Fred and you called me on my car. And as far as your phone number is concerned, I can call the main number. But there's probably only 10% of the shops in the valley, maybe a little higher, that play those silly, stupid games. But your Moaner's Manual is your defense. So you have them always write it down. And usually when they call you and tell you it's ready, you say, you know, I'm sure you found some problems. Would you please just write down what the solution is and put a price next to it? They don't know if you're working for the Attorney General's office or anybody else. You could be working for an insurance company looking at a particular shop that's selling unneeded repairs. And so they're looking, and they're sending cars through that have brand new transmission fluid, and the shop says you need to have your transmission fluid changed because it's burnt. So those are the kinds of things that typically happen. 602-508-0960. We have five lines, and the phone number or the phone will be answered by Gil. He's our engineer.
1 minute.
He's the guy that he just said in my ear, "You have 1 minute." See, at the middle of the hour, I have to get out at exactly 10:30, and I can't go a half a minute or a minute or 3 minutes. But I do sometimes, and then Gil will still cover for me. So I got 19 seconds to go, and I have to talk it up to the bottom of the hour, which is 30 minutes after the hour. But I'm capable of doing that. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you're outside the metropolitan area and you want to use our 888 number, it's easy. Remember, we're at 960 The Patriot. I'll say it, 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696. So I have 10 seconds to talk, and I'm going to tell you this is KKNT, and the phone number is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960.
Take the page.
Want, give us a call, and we'll talk about your car-related question, and you can tell me the year, make, and model, and then we'll talk symptoms, and I'm going to ask you questions. And that's typically how it goes. But I'm going to step into history just a little while. Gil and I started working together in 2012. So we've been married for 11 years. We know a lot about one another and what our weak spots and what our tickle spots are because we've just been together and we have to work together. And he was laughing at me because I counted down to 10:30 exactly. And he goes, "I knew you were going to make it." And so, and then I do. I hit all my marks. My next break is 10:40. But it's kind of a flexible one, so I can go a couple minutes this way and a couple minutes that way. But long and short of it is I've been with KKNT since October of 2011. So I've been here for 12 years. And we've handled car repair shops. And frankly, I probably get maybe one or two complaints a year, and it's always about my opinion about something. And so that's okay with me. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960. You just say, "I got this car, year, make, and model, maybe the motor size, whatever. Is it two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive? And these are my symptoms. What do you think it is? Now, I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to say to you, fast or slow, cold or hot, that kind of stuff. Speaking of cold or hot, your transmission is something that costs a lot of money now, but in the old days, we used to change the fluid at 15 to 30,000 miles, and today, just virtually all transmissions are right around 100,000 miles. So don't let anybody talk you into it before you look at your owner's manual, because your owner's manual is the Bible for your car. But you'll oftentimes find that somebody's just simply made a mistake, and they didn't look up your car, and they came to the conclusion that you're still at 30,000 miles, even though your car's a 2017, and they quit doing that in 2011. It's just one of those things. Automatic Transmission Exchange is rebuilding transmissions in the Phoenix area since 1968. I know Phil, I know his staff, and they're really good at transmission diagnostics. They're going to take a ride in your car. They're probably going to watch you drive while this happens. Then they're going to want to drive to see if they can duplicate the problem. Then they're going to say, leave your car with us. We know kind of where it's at, but I need to do some pressure tests. I need to do this, I need to do that. But your test drive helped me because I got to see you make the problem happen. And so he told me the other day that he told somebody that, and they said, everything's been checked. And he goes, well, do you want me to do it or not? And the guy goes, no. But he says he comes back about 2 hours later, and he says, okay. So the first thing you do is check the fluid. It was like 3 quarts low on oil, on transmission oil. So they put 3 quarts in, they give it back to him, and they say, you know, go drive it and see what happens. And he comes back, and he goes, what'd you do? And he says, you fixed it, but you didn't give me an estimate. Come on. Okay, and so somebody says to him, it's only 3 quarts of oil and $35. I mean, you know, it's only 3 quarts of oil and $35. That's all we were going to charge it. But anyway, that's what happened. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Car repair is kind of tough. It's kind of tough on you. But I'm going to go into some history for you. When I was working at a gas station, and it was called Ahwatukee Mobile in Ahwatukee, in the 79 through 83 range, Mobile One came out with the 25,000-mile Mobile One. You can't imagine the flurry and the storms and the chatter. It was so loud, it was deafening. Now, the problem is that if I change your oil and I tell you that oil is going to last 25,000 miles, you're not going to ever check it, and that car is going to come back in with a motor that smoked, and they're going to say, hey, I was using Mobile One, and that did happen. So there was a lot of that going on, and then if you add Mobile One, and it was a wives' tale back then, but if you add Mobile One to your car, and they say, well, once you use Mobile One, you have to for the rest of your life, your engine wouldn't know peanut butter from Wesson oil. Your engine, your transmission, they don't have anything. There's no sensors. There's no nothing to tell them what kind of fluid you have. And today we have universal fluid a lot, so it fits all these Chevrolet, Ford, Dodge vehicles. That's how it kind of works. So it's important for you to take that kind of stuff in consideration. And just if you think about it, then you can say, I know you. Now my husband said that you were just going to drop the pan and replace the filter and maybe 3 quarts of oil. And I think you guys gave him a $200 estimate. But now it's gone into what? Well, it's $1,100 because we're going to have to flush that. Okay, well, just write that down and write the flush down and document that with parts and labor, would you please? And it won't happen because he knows that it's not true. So he probably won't write it at all, and he'll just pretend ignorance, he or she. But this happens in our industry all the way across the board. The chain stores, the independent repair shops like my own, dealerships, then you've got a variety of multi-purpose places that do everything. They could do car wax and car dealing, but they do oil changes as well, or they do tires as well. It's not like Discount Tire. You're not going to get them to change your oil. You're only going to get them to change your tires. That's it. Change your tires. They're not going to change your windshield wipers, and they're not going to look your car over and tell you what's the matter, except if you have a problem with alignment, and they'll say something to you. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 602-508-0960 is the phone number. It's a call-in number. You can call in and say, I have this kind of car, and this is what it's doing. And then maybe you say, this is what they told me it was, or you say, can you help me pinpoint it? That's kind of the way we do it around here. It's give and take, and I ask questions, and you, and the answers, by the way, are yes, no, or I don't know. So it's okay to say, I don't know. But I can at least give you information to help it, the shop, get closer to your diagnosis by telling you, does it happen in the morning? Does it happen in the afternoon after cars warm up? No, it only happens in the morning. Good, good. That's a very important clue to fix your car. Autodynamics is in Sun City. It's family-owned and operated since 1982. So if you're looking at a great shop in Sun City, I recommend Automotive Dynamics, north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. Chuck Nide runs Automotive Dynamics, and Chuck and I have been friends, believe it or not, since 1968. And so I know him. I know his morals and his scruples. I have lots of secrets about Chuck, as he does of me, because in the olden days, the gas stations, we were a little bit Wyatt Earpy, and sometimes we didn't behave ourselves. And Chuck was really good at making me not behave myself. So for that, I'm just telling you, it was his fault. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I've been in radio since 1988, and I came to KKNT in, I think, 2011 it was. It was November of 2011. So I've been here, what, 12 years? I've been doing radio, like I said, since 1988, but it's time to give somebody else a chance. So my contract is over in November. They asked me to renew one, but I'm up the age that I'm going to pass the torch to somebody else. Now, I don't know if you're going to get an automotive show, because that's not my choice, but you may get an automotive show, and you may get somebody who wants to talk about bears. I don't know. And it'll be the middle of November, I think, is when my contract is up. There's no hard feelings between me and KKNT. I love them, and I think they love me, and we've done work together for, like I say, 12 years. So, and Gil and I have been together a very long time, and we have a permanent relationship, and we can still laugh, and if I make a mistake, he can cover it up. He has really fast fingers. So every once in a while, I'll use a word that could be construed as not appropriate, and his finger goes, tick, and then there's a beep, you hear a beep, and that's because Gil took that word out, and we're on a delay, so he has lots of time to pull that off, but he didn't do a lot of it. Anyway, it's been my pleasure, and I'm going to tell you that when I was hired in 1988, oh, by the way, 602-508-0960, if you have a car question, 602-508-0960. In 1988, I was hired by Jim Tazarak for KTAR, and he called me in, and Jim was a very intimidating man. First of all, he was 9 feet tall. His shoulders were 6 feet. He had a full head of hair. He was from the Midwest, and he had a real gravelly voice. And he said, sit down. And I did what he said. And he goes, I want to tell you something. Before you come on this radio station, I got to explain something to you. This is not a commercial for your shop. This is not a commercial for your shop. This is you help our callers. You give them advice. You ask them questions. And he says, and then if you can, you can direct them to a shop close by, which is exactly how my list of the best car repair shops came to order. It was way back in 1988. He says, now you're not going to send every caller to your place in Tempe. I want you to find other good shops so you can spread out what you do. And I said, okay, I understand. So he says, I'm going to be watching you. And I said, okay, but I've never done radio before, so you're going to have to give me a little bit of learning time. And he says, I will. So I worked for him till 2011, from 88 to 2011. He's passed away. Him and I had a wonderful relationship, and that's ultimately why I went to KKNT, is I'd really lost my contact there. Well, KKNT is just like KTAR. But what I'm doing now is I'm telling you for the first time that we own Salem Boys in Tempe. We own Salem Boys Auto Repair in Tempe. My wife's there, my daughter Andy runs the operation, my son runs the shop, and I'm there every once in a while. The idea is I'm going to tell you that because that's the number one question I get, is where's your shop? And my response has always been, where do you live? Let me guide you to a good shop. I'm telling you different now, just because I'm at the end of my radio career. And so if you have a problem, or if you want your oil changed, we're by appointment only unless your car's broke down and it gets towed in, and then we do what we can, and we have time every day for those kinds of things. But and Salem Boys Auto in Tempe, it's on Warner Road just east of the I-10, and it's on the south side of the road, and there's a big sign there, and it's got a brick building on it, and it has palm trees, and it has all kinds of... The city of Tempe made us build this particular building so it could be a multi-purpose building when you go broke. So when you go broke, I need it to be a furniture store, or I need it to be a warehouse. It's where Sears moves in. So we have 20 bays. We got 10 bays on either side of the shop. We have an upstairs. I think we have 5 or 6 offices. Then we have a radio studio that, you know, I won't be using anymore. So I could do radio in Phoenix from the station itself. I could do radio in Tempe, and you'd never know it. And now, and for the last 5 years, I can do radio in a motorhome. So it's just a matter of technology. We've got a caller. Who might that be?
Say good morning to David.
David, good morning.
Mark, good morning. Love your show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Calling from Anthem, I have a 2006 Toyota Sienna Limited, and I've got an air conditioning problem that I am stumped about. It blows ice cold in the morning, and it lasts about 10 minutes, and then it blows hot air for the rest of the day. And then in the morning, the following morning, it works just fine for 10 minutes, and then it decides to quit. And I don't think... I don't know what it could be.
Okay, well, I can tell you what it isn't. It's not Freon. So, and the fact that it blows cold and then it quits blowing cold just tells me that. Underneath your car in the dashboard, we have a blend door. And I want you to picture this blend door flapping from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Okay? You picture that?
Okay. Yep.
Then there are cold... and there's hot in this area, and it's the big box behind the glove box on most cars. So that's where everything happens. So this blend door, if you call for air conditioning, then it closes the hot and opens up the cold, which is the evaporator. And if you ask for warmth, then it closes off the cold side and allows warm air from the heater core to go. So I would look there first, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to drive on a regular basis in the defrost mode, and then I want you to go to floor mode, and then I want you to go to center vent, because those are the three positions that we're going to service your air. You'll save yourself a lot of money if you come in and say, if I put it in floor, then it blows cold air out of the floor. And if I put it in center vent and it blows hot air out, then we got a blend door problem. And so, and now this
makes sense. Okay.
This isn't going to be a cheap one if we got a blend door problem.
Yep.
And you don't want to be around when we take the entire dash out of your car, when we take the glove box on the right side, and we burrow into this area that humans have never been before. And we're not going to give this job to the three-whiskered kid that's been a mechanic for a year. I'm looking for the senior gray-haired guys, and I hand them this, and I go, sounds like a blend door. Confirm the diagnosis, and then get your estimate together. And they look at me, and they go, I've done a lot of these. And I said, that's because you do them well. That's why you're getting it. And not you know, it can be 7, 8, 10 hours worth of labor. But I want you to flip around between... high, center vent, and then defrost, and then floor. And I think you'll find that it doesn't work like it should. Now, when we go into the blend door, sometimes we find dirty napkins, we find dirty tissues, we find cigarettes, everything that people put on the dashboard that can fall through those vents, everything we find in there. It's not going to be anything to do with refrigeration, although it may be a situation where we have to take the refrigerant out of it to get to where we need to be, and then you're a little low on refrigerant, so we're going to put back what you had, 8 ounces, and it calls for 12, and I'm going to add 4 to that. So when I say it's not the AC system, that's kind of what I mean, but in a faraway way, it could be the Freon, it could be a leak, but I don't think it is, because you said the important thing is it blows ice cubes at you, and it can't do that if it's got a little Freon.
In the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said something that was ringing some bells. When the car is parked, my 2-year-old has been known to stuff quarters in the vents. So maybe that's my issue.
Well, when you get there and find a mother load of quarters, then we'll all know that happened.
All right.
You might,
wonderful. Well, thank you. I will try that.
Okay.
Try that plan. And
your grandson or your nephew is sitting in the passenger side when he's playing slot machines with that vent, right?
Right.
Okay.
The car is parked, but yeah.
All right. Well, that's exactly, the blend door is at the bottom of the center vent and the right vent. It's at the bottom of that. So like I said, we found hamburgers and cheeseburgers and all kinds of personal things that just jammed underneath the dash. But find a good shop. Oh, do you have a good shop right now?
I do. I've got a great guy, a former Toyota mechanic that would be able. He's backed out, but I've got a good guy, and I'll lead him in that direction.
Okay, let me give you some advice. You got to figure out how you can make it act up. So you figure out how you work the controls, and you figure out that if I do it this way, I get hot air, even though I'm asking for air conditioning, and if I do it this way, I get cold air, and I'm asking for cold air. So if you can give him, spot him how to make it happen, you're going to save yourself at least $100.
Recreate that environment.
Yeah, it's going to sound like it's first thing in the morning, and I go to cold air, and it's not coming out of the vents, it's coming out of the floor. And it's not nearly the volume out of the floor as it does the vents. So as I drive, then the air gets warmer. And that's because the blend door's moving. And so as you explain that, he's probably not going to say, oh, that's a blend door, because he doesn't want to get locked into the blend door diagnosis. He's going to say, it sounds like something underneath the dash. Let me look at that. And then that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Now, sometimes we can pull the blower motor out behind the glove box, and we can access that blend door. But I don't know about your Sienna. I don't know.
Gotcha. Wonderful, wonderful advice. Thank you for your time, and we'll listen further off the air.
All righty. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. It's that easy. You just got to give me make and model and what's going on. And we got somebody else. Who's that?
Say hello to Bob.
Bob, good morning.
Mark, I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you too, Bob.
I've been listening to you for the last 9 years, and you're always entertaining. I love it when you get your undies in a bundle.
You know,
and I'll never listen to that car show on the other station either. I want you to know that too.
All right. Well, you can certainly do whatever you want.
You know who they are.
I'm
faithful to you.
Yeah. It's I think I far have more friends than I have people that don't like me. But you cited perfectly. I'm kind of rough around the edges, and I'm adamant that we need to do this, and I'm adamant that this is against industry standards, and I'm adamant that he didn't do enough work to diagnose the fact that you need a computer, because he did it while you waited, and it was 30 minutes. Those are the kinds of things, but I don't know who's going to take the place. It could be an insurance company, it could be a real estate company, or it could be a couple car guys. I don't know, and I don't care. But I know your voice, and I know that you've been on the air with me a lot, and I think you're from the Bell and I-17 area?
Yeah, not far, yeah.
Okay, and that's Kurtz. And Kurtz has been on my list forever and ever. And Kurtz and Eric is a team that, between Kurtz's experience and his nephew or his son-in-law, Eric, between Kurt and Eric, they are a team that you just can't beat. They both have special skills. They both have the tenacity to figure it out. And Kurt has the experience, and Eric is gaining experience every minute of every day. So, Kurt's Automotive is I-17 in Bell, northeast corner. If you have a car question, I'm going to be here for another hour. Now's the time to call in, 602-508-0960.
This was a paid program and was provided for only.
Dennis Prager here. Sue and I mean it when we say dogs are part of our family, and there's nothing like their...
Did you want me to send you a book?
you know what? I would probably be able to take this show if I plugged the audio into the output. You know? That would just work well. I had unplugged the audio. I always unplug the audio during the breaks. And I had forgot to plug it back in. So anyway, my problem is solved, and I can help you with your problem. Blackwell Automotive is at 40th Street and Greenway. And if you want to meet my twin brother, it's Tom. We're both pretty principled about car repair. We're both very good. I'll say it this way. Tom's a really good technician. He's really good at diagnosing things. He's good at fixing those problems, and he's good at talking to the customer in the front counter. This is what you told us. This is what we found. We did this work that you authorized, and then we went and drove it, and the symptom is not there anymore. So I feel pretty confident, and your old pieces that we took out are in a bag in the back seat in case your husband wants to see the old parts. It's funny because we do the same thing. We have plastic bags for the old parts, and I can't tell you how many people come in and say, you left some parts in my car. And then we have to explain, those are your old parts. If you wanted to look at them, you can see what's the matter with them. This particular thing is not supposed to have this much oil, and it's red. And so we got a transmission crossover, and the fluid's going where it shouldn't. So the fluid is going into your cooling system because the cooler is leaking inside your radiator. So I gave you the old cooler, and that anybody that knows cars can just doot, 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 and get that done. So those are the kinds of issues that we have. And so Tom Blackwell's a good guy, 40th Street and Greenway. I've known him for a very long time, and he's like I said, he's a lot like me. He's pretty adamant, and both of us sometimes have trouble with technicians because we have a pretty strict idea of what the technician should do. And one of the technicians that we both just go crazy over is you hire the guy and you give him something that, like the blend door we were talking about, the air conditioning. It's blowing hot air when it's supposed to be blowing cold air. He goes out to the car and he comes back into the service writer and he gives the service writer a laundry list of things your car needs according to him. And the service writer says, transmission flush and fan belts and a cooling system flush and front brakes and lower control arms has nothing to do with what the customer said. So you need to go back and let's work on the symptom the customer gives us. You need to diagnose it, bring it up front, talk to parts, get a parts price, get your own labor price, and then tell us what's going on. We've all been there and done that, and unfortunately it's something that permeates our industry is you took it in for one thing and then they give you a laundry list afterwards. You're not going to get that at Larry Harker's Auto. He's at 38th Avenue and Indian School, and this shop's been open since 1967. Well, Bob's wife, Ellen, handles the front counter, and Bob handles the shop. And trust me when I say, you're not in business since 1967. If you're ripping people's heads off with estimates that don't belong and fixing cars that in the wrong spot and all that kind of stuff, not only that is that Bob's really good on the old cars and the new cars, but his spectrum of skills is probably from the 40s on up. And there's been times that I have sent him work because he's on the other side of the valley from me. So if somebody's near 38th Avenue and Indian School, I send him there. The idea is that I send you there because I already know the owner and I already know he can fix this. And Bob actually one time on a BMW just waved a magic wand. It had been bid at, I don't know, $4,000. We're going to have to go into the dash. And what it had water dripping on the passenger side floorboard. Now think about this. Freon is a gas, so it's not Freon. And cooling system is going to be green or red, and it's not that. And then all the fluids in the engine are going to be hot. So if you're driving down the road and you got a puddle in the passenger side seat that just appeared, just put your fingers in the puddle, pull off the side of the road and do that. And if it's warm, it's from the cooling system. And if it's not, it's from the air conditioning system. And it's not, water's not a byproduct of the air conditioning system unless you freeze up the evaporator. So if you run the fan speed on low and you're asking for 26 below zero, then the evaporator's going to freeze up and then it's going to go into defrost mode and that's when we dump water on the ground. It's not supposed to be on your floorboard, but if it's overcome or the vent is filled with boogers and fuzz, then we have to clean the vent out. And then all that water is going to come out at once and we give you your car back and it's done. So 602-508-0960. And do we have a caller?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Hello to Scott.
Scott, good morning.
Well, good morning, Mark. Hey, you know, I listen to you pretty much every Saturday.
Thank
and
you.
And I just heard that, you're welcome. I just heard that you're going off the air in November. And what my question is it's been a pleasure listening to you. And the question that I have is, are you still going to have email access if we need to ask you a question?
Yes. Yes, the answer is yes. Mark at marksalem.com or mark at salemboysauto.com. Salem spelled like the cigarette. Yes, you'll have access to me, and I'm going to continue to do that. It's just that it's time for somebody else to do this. It's also time. I haven't had a Saturday off since 1988, and my wife and I have been motorhoming on and off our entire lives, and we'll be married 50 years come up February. So we just going to do a little bit more traveling now. I had a motorhome that had, it was wired for radio, and my wife hated that, because every Saturday, actually we have to find a place to park on Friday, and then have to get ready for the radio show on Saturday, and she and the kids had to go outside, because I needed quiet. So, that's happened, but it's not because I got fired, it's not because I got into trouble, it's just time to turn the reins over to, now, this hour could be financial guy, it could be somebody talking about wallpaper, I don't know. But if they find car guys, and that's the reason why I'm staying early, you know, I'm leaving, then maybe they'll hire another car guy or a pair of car guys. I don't know. I'm not part of that decision. But
yeah, I remember the days when you were, I think through the motorhome. I've been listening to you when you were on KTAR.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been a while. And just like that other caller said, yeah, we're going to miss you. So
well, thank
enjoy
you
your
that.
Retirement, my friend.
Thank you very much. Listener on KTAR, which dates you back to, 1988, and then I started KKNT at 2011, so you got 2, 4, so that was 14 years at KTAR, and I want to tell you something, when I was at KTAR, I'm telling you what, I had fun, and back then Rosie was my partner, and Rosie did home repair, and then they put us together, and sometimes the calls, it was every morning, every Monday morning, hi, this is Taz. Did you really say da-da-da-da-da? And the answer has to be, you know I did this because you already listened to the log tape. You know I said that. Well, we need to avoid saying that. Okay, I'll avoid. I mean, stay away from that subject altogether. Kissing in the back seat with your wife has nothing to do with car repair. Okay, I get it. But Rosie and I had a great time together. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I know that phone number by heart, and I'm going to call Gil and mess with him as well. But I still got some time. I'm going to November, and I don't know when my contract. I think it's the middle of November. And I want to tell you something. My time here has been great, just absolutely great. I have been treated with all the respect in the world. They gave me Jeremy as a board op and a producer first. Then they elevated him to a different position, and then Gil and I started. And the experience of the people that we work with behind the scenes is very important. I'll give you an example. I have to take a break at 17 minutes after the hour. That's not 17 minutes and 10 seconds, and it's not 16 minutes and 30 seconds. They want me out at 17. They want me out at 30, which is called the bottom of the hour. Then they want me out at 40, and then here's the tough one, 58:50. 58 minutes, 50 seconds. Now, if your board op isn't good, you're going to miss some of your spots. But Gil, he'll go 5 minutes. Or he'll say, you're a minute away. And he talks to me in my ears. So my right headset is Gil, and the left head muff is the caller. So if I'm good, it's because they're good. And they've taught me how to get out exactly. Now, we're at 24 seconds after the hour, 25, 26. And in 30 seconds, I got to get and give him back this so he can do commercials and stuff. So I'm going to just walk it right up to the 17 mark. And this is something that's very difficult for people to do. But then again, I've been around the block, and I've been trained a lot. So Gil's going to start talking to me like 10, 9, 8 at the appropriate time. Just ignore him because I'm going to stop talking at 17 minutes after the hour. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960.
Dennis Prager.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're going to be here until 12, and we're talking cars. And if you'd like to join us, you can, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Let me just cover something from the business, and then I'm going to get to Tom and Colin. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is up at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. If you're north of Thomas, north of Indian School, and you need a diesel guy, you need to go to Nate. Nate knows the Dodges, the Isuzus, the Chevys, the Fords. He knows all that stuff. Everybody else is going to be guessing with your money. Everybody else, except my shop. We have really good diesel guys. But Nate's up north, and I'm way south. But if you're, like I said, north of Thomas, you need to go to Nate, Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Honestly, when you meet him and shake his hand, he's like 9 feet tall, and he has hands like tennis rackets. But he'll talk to you, and he'll ask you questions to kind of save you some money by narrowing it down what the problem is. And you'll respect that, and you'll like him. So let's go to the phones. Tom, you're up next. Tom? Tom? Oh, boy.
Oh, he should be there.
Oh, God, you scared me. I thought I lost programming again.
No. He's just not answering. We'll go to Colin first and go back to Tom.
Okay, we'll do Colin. Colin, we're going to go to you next. How can I help you today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Mark. I've been listening to you a long time. We're going to hate to see you gone. Anyway, I've got a 2005 Ford 150 I bought recently. It's got 123,000 miles on it. Runs good, drives good on it, but for some reason, the air conditioning system keeps popping off the pressure release valve, and the shop that it's at is they've had it now for it's one of those, you know, fix something else until, you know, try eliminate the process of elimination, and it's getting quite expensive. So they replaced the compressor, they cleaned out the system, then replaced the compressor. It worked for a couple days, quit, looked like it was leaking something on the ground. It looked to me like antifreeze, but they told me it was compressor oil with the green dye in it. So what happened there was a Schrader valve was bad, easy fix, replaced that, went down the road about 20 yards, and all the system blew out again through that pressure release valve. So I thought maybe you might have some insight on what would be causing this with, again,
well, you have
been there for 3 days. There you go.
All right. You have classic symptoms of an airflow problem across the radiator. When we're driving, we're running a lot of air through your grill and over the radiator or over the evaporator. And the evaporator is the first thing, and then your radiator is the second thing. So you have real good symptoms that our high side is going crazy because we don't have any airflow. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to get it to happen on a Sunday morning. Get it to where you got the problem. Then I want you to get on the freeway and drive 10 miles. And after you drive 10 miles, then I want to know if everything's okay. So if it doesn't start, you know, coming out of the high-pressure relief valve, and you still have cold air the entire time when you're on the Freon, then your fan clutch is bad, the front of your radiator, the front of your condenser is clogged with bugs or dirt or whatever. We just need better airflow across the condenser. I think that's your problem.
Okay, Colin, he dropped.
Okay, so Colin, good luck to you. Airflow across the radiator and the condenser. The condenser is first, the radiator second, and then the fan is third. Tom, are you there? I guess Tom bailed too. These people are making me cry.
Are you kidding?
No, he's there.
Tom, go ahead. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, turn your radio off.
Okay, I have an old RV. Can you hear me now?
I can. Go ahead.
I can't. What's going on here?
Turn your radio off.
Hello?
Turn your radio off. and just talk to me.
It's off.
Okay.
It is off.
I can hear you now.
I have an 81 Chevy G30 van. It didn't come with air conditioning. Possible to have somebody put it in there?
Oh, sure. There's a lot of guys in town that do it. I want you to call a couple of the shops around in your area and just say, I have an F1. Is it an F-150 box on the front?
I'm not sure. I just know it's the 81 Chevy G30.
Okay.
An old RV.
Okay. So it's got an RV box on it. That's all you're going to tell them. You're going to say, can you add air conditioning to this? And the answer is going to be yes or no, but there's four or five guys out there. I can't think of one right now, but there's four or five guys now. Another thing you could do, this works kind of good, is call a couple of auto parts stores and say, who's a really good shop that could install air conditioning on my motorhome? See, we're going to have to take the dash completely apart. And we have to put controls in there so that you can go four-speed fan. And then we also have a blend door that gives you cold air at your feet, cold air at the center, and cold air at the windshield. So a lot of guys will just eliminate that and just go come out of the center vents and not go in there and redesign the dashboard. Another thing you can do is you can say, can you diagnose a problem with this? And that would prevent me from doing this. We need a big radiator in that thing, and we need good flow, and we don't need a whole bunch of stuff on the grill, like bug screens and stuff like that. So those are the kinds of things you have. I want you to call Blackwell Automotive, and I want you to call Harker's. I'm just geographically storing them around. And then call our shop, Salem Boys Auto. And talk to either our parts department or somebody at the front counter. Daniel would be a good guy to call. And
that was Salem
Boys Auto.
That was Salem Boys Auto?
Yeah, it's in Tempe.
Okay.
So I don't know that we have anybody that we have, but I'm going to send you to Alan, my son, Daniel, the service writer, and between one of those two people, you say, hey, your dad said that you might be able to have some. You know somebody that wants to work on my 2005 P30 chassis and put air conditioning in it, who would you send me to? That's a simple question.
Any approximate idea what it might cost to put AC in something that doesn't have it, never had it?
Well over $1,000. Well over $1,000. You got a condenser. You've got an evaporator that has to go underneath the dash. The condenser goes in front of the radiator. You have to put the compressor and all the mounts on. You have to plumb the compressor to the dashboard stuff. And you got to run all the electrical. So you've got to have a four-speed fan. And then we're going to have apply power to the air conditioning system to start the compressor. And so then you're going to have a dryer underneath the hood. And then the controls are going to be the tough ones. But you can get under the dash. And you have to have two things. You have to have a temperature knob, full cold, full hot, or whatever. And then you got a fan knob. And then you might have a recirculation button that you push it and it recirculates the air in the car, or you push it and it brings outside air and cools it and blows it in your face. So you have a lot of different options. But there's a couple. I just can't think of their names. There's a couple guys out there that do this. So it's a matter of just, and call auto parts stores too, especially the ones down near Van Buren and McDowell, because that's where, it seems to me, that's where one of the guys was at. All right, good luck to you, 81 P30 motorhome, and actually the air conditioning will work 10 times better in that we're adding something that's built in 2023 than it was in 1981, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Welcome back to everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. One of the big... Oh, let me give the phone number, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And we're going to go to Dan because Dan's been waiting. Dan, good morning to you. How can I help you?
I've got a 2012 Honda Civic, and I've got a check engine code that says small evaporative emission leak. And I've replaced the gas cap. I know that's the first thing. And then I've replaced the purge valve. I still have it. I had the thing up on a lift. I can't find any hose leaks, no cracked hoses or anything like that. Where do I go from here?
Well, if you've done all the work that you said right, then I think you're going to have to drop the tank and see if one of the vent lines has come off the top of the tank. How about the charcoal canister? Did you check that?
I checked it as much as I could. It has this big shield under the car, you know, to as a big fairing, you know, for mileage, and that's kind of hard to get off. I guess I should check that. So the charcoal canister, I'm looking for cracks or something on it.
Well, you see, that's the problem is you don't have the equipment necessary to diagnose this, and if you see something, you probably don't have the ability to see, oh, that's wrong. Let me explain the evaporative system. The evaporative system is going to suck the fumes off the tank and send them forward and burn them in the engine. And there's going to be sensors in there that measure the flow. There could be a variety of ways for the computer to see what's going on. So we're going to plug in our scanner, and we're going to start looking at the code, and we're going to look at the parameters of the code, and it may very well say, over here, I got a 1-5 voltage range, and I'm at 1, and I really like to be at 2.5. So then we would do that. But the chances of you fixing are pretty slim. How many miles are on that?
About 130,000.
Okay. I'm not familiar with a pattern failure with that vehicle. But the canister, you might have to dig the canister out. You might have to shake it. You might want to weigh it and then go to the auto parts store and have them pull one out and set it on the counter and take a look at it, and even bring your old one and just weigh it, because if the canister's full of gasoline because it's been sucking gas out of it because your wife stuffs the tank, then you can feel the difference in the canister between the one that's saturated with gas and the one that isn't. But the whole idea is we're going to suck the fumes off the tank and send them forward and burn them. So somewhere along the line, it doesn't like what's going on there. And probably because it's not seeing the purge happening. And then again, it could be a variety of things. And most of the time, we're going to do our evaporative system with vacuum hoses. We're going to open and close different doors and valves and stuff like that. That's not universal for every car out there, but generally speaking, I've done that. What part of town do you live in?
Cape Creek.
Okay. Well, you can go to Blackwell. He's up there, 40th and Greenway. It's not exactly where you... But I think that's the closest guy I got for you. Do you work? Where do you work in town?
I'm retired.
Okay. All right. Well, I know that... let me look at my list of my best shops, and I know Action at I-17 in Deer Valley wouldn't have any problem with it. I don't know how much it's going to cost. Kurtz is at I-17 in Bell. And then you got Thompson's. Forget Thompson's because he's in Mesa. But that's the best I can offer you. I can't tell you how to fix it. But when we put our scanner to it, oftentimes, and I don't know about your 2012 because it's, you know, 11 years old, but oftentimes it will let you open and close different valves with our scanner. So we can actually operate it, and it says, okay, this valve should be open, and you should see a suck on this hose, and then when it closes, you see no vacuum on this hose. Just different things like that are going to be more than you're going to be able to handle. So, and then the thing is, take it in, and I've got this, what does it cost to have you analyze and find the problem? And then I want you to call me with a part and labor estimate. So tell me the diagnosis, and then I know you're going to call me once you find it and give me the estimate for the repair. And I'll add section one for the diagnosis, and then I'll add the stuff you give me for the repair. And by the way, I want you to be sure about this. I would hate to have that light come on a day after you're supposed to turn it off. So and then you pay with a credit card. Because if that does happen and the shop tells you to go pound sand, you call your credit card company and say, I hired them to do this. I have the same problem. I want to stop payment on that. And most of us are not going to be able to tell MasterCharge and Visa and American Express to go pound sand because we need their business. So
yeah.
they're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I've dealt with Blackwell before. No, they're real good, so that'd be my... place of choice.
Okay. Well, don't brag about him on the air. Tom and I are twin brothers of different mothers. And we're all real busy right now. I think we're 7-8 days behind right now. Our guys are working till 6 o'clock trying to kick cars out. I don't understand why this year has been this way, but it has just been hell. and we are all covered up. So you just make an appointment and tell them that's a firm one, right? And then you show up. And that's what I do. And tell Blackwell that that Salem's going to give you a 50% coupon off of the repair.
I'll tell him that.
He's just going to laugh and say he normally gives 200% off. But then he'll call me and tease me. But anyway, Dan, good luck to you. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, now's the time to call, 602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. 43 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. All of a sudden, I got five people on, and we're going to run through them as quickly as we can. John, you're first. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. I have a question on extended warranty, and I want to know what your opinion is on that.
Okay. You want to buy one?
Hey, I bought one, and I paid for it. It's all paid in full. I have a 2019 Ford F-150 XLT. I got 35,000 miles on it, and I didn't know this. Evidently, I didn't read the fine print. But I bought up to 100,000 miles, and I called them up just to verify everything, and they told me that this warranty will expire in 2026. And I go, there's no way I'm going to reach 100,000 miles in a little bit over 2 years. And evidently, I didn't read the fine print, if it's been the fine print. What do you think about, I never bought extended warranty before, but I did this time, and I was wondering if that was a good move on.
I think I would contact the credit card company that you used for that and explain that it has terms that you didn't read and they didn't explain, and you would like very much for them not to pay the credit card charge. That's what I would do if I were you.
Well, wait a minute, Mark. I paid everything by check.
Oh, all right. Well, then you're out of luck there. I don't have an answer for you. This doesn't happen very often, but it does enough to where I'm familiar with it. But I think you're just going to have to use it to the extent you can use it, and I don't know any other thing to do. And then you paid with the check, and that kind of eliminates it. But John, I'm sorry. If you have any other questions about it, Mark at MarkSalem.com. But I got to get going. Tom, you're up next. How can I help you, Tom?
Hey, I've got a 99 Ford Ranger V6 with a factory limited slip.
Okay.
And a couple of years ago, I installed an aftermarket sway bar on the back, and it was cornering real good. But about a month ago, I'm coming back from Canyon Lake, and I'm whipping through those S-curves, and the back end starts bouncing up and down, and I'm thinking, oh, I got a flat tire. So I went into a turnoff and rode. Nothing wrong with the tire, so I get back on the road.
Okay, we need to speed this up. We need to speed it up. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I got it home, the springs, shock absorbers, because that was something else I thought might have broke. But what would cause,
Tom. I can't diagnose your car. I don't have enough information, and I've got to get going. What you need to do is take it to a shop and demonstrate the problem. Describe the problem and let them look at your rear end. Look and see if one of the springs isn't broken. There's so many possibilities, and nothing. It's probably nothing to do with the limited slip. It could be a bad shock. It could be a broken spring. It could be a lower control arm. All that stuff is possible. But somebody's going to have to take a ride. Somebody's going to have to feel exactly what you're talking about. Don, you're up next.
Don dropped, so let's go to Harry.
Harry, you're up next.
Yeah, hey, Mark. I'm sad to hear that you're possibly leaving, but glad for you. I think that, in everybody's life, the time comes when you got to make a change one way or another. And, I know you'll have a good outcome. I got on the show a little late, and I just heard you say something about you got bounced off your tractor this morning. And it's kind of a bad for you.
You know,
I hope it's not a horse incident. You know, where you had your horse problem.
Oh no! It wasn't a head hit. I was I realize that I'm at my neighbor's house and the gate's locked and neither one of them gets us open. I look at my clock. I got 12 minutes to go a half a mile. So I put my tractor in fourth gear and I'm hauling butt down the forest to the back gate, and I shut it off and I run in and I turn on my equipment and I say to Gil, I hope you can cover me because I'm not ready. And he goes, I got you covered. I got you covered. So I got a big, big bruise and a puffy, I don't know what you call it, it's swollen, my leg. And then I've got my shin skinned up to where it's bleeding. But you know what? I'm a big boy. And I'm just going to tough it out and drink the rest of the afternoon with some Seagram's. That's what I'm going to do.
That'll work. That'll work. Painkillers are never bad.
Yep.
Don't get any infections or anything like that. That's not always good.
I understand.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm glad for you, and I'll miss you. And you listened to you since probably the mid-90s. And shop, Kurtz, and, you know.
Yep.
I'm good at everything, and you know, we'll try to keep in contact, and I'm glad for you.
Well, thank you, Harry, very much. And I recognize your voice. You don't even need to tell me your name's Harry, but I use your name just so everybody else knows. And there might be somebody that you know that might replace. There's all kinds of talk, and I'm not involved in the talk, but there's plenty of car guys out here that would love to have the show. And I'm not going to be responsible. I'm not going to be the person that picks the next host. So I think what they'll do is they'll simply put them on the air, and everybody will get a chance to handle this. And I tell them all, it's not as easy as it looks.
Right. Never is.
And the hardest part is hitting all your times. So 17, 30, 40, and 58, you know, there's no fluff there. You better quit talking at 58.00. But then again, it didn't take me long to figure it out, and I had good training, and there's plenty of people at KKNT. If they go down, the new guys go down to the station, then they got Gil, and Gil will help them be successful. But I'm going to send you a coupon good for $1,000 worth of free repair at Kurtz. Do you think that'll fly?
Oh, hey, do that. I'd like to go in there today.
Hey,
I got something here from your buddy.
Yeah, just tell Eric that Mark Salem is sending me a $1,000 voucher. Can we get started on my car? Kurt's going to call me and he says, are you going to pay for Harry's stuff? And I said, I don't even know who Harry is. All right, Harry. I'm going to take off. Thank you very much, Jack. You're up next, Jack.
Yeah, how you doing, Mark?
Good.
I've got a quick question for you. I recently bought a 66 Thunderbird that I'm working.
Okay.
And when I first got it, I had some front end work done. Then I got it aligned. And when I took my hands off the steering wheel, it would always drift to the right. Then I got a flat tire on the left-hand side and had that replaced, my tires. And then I got another alignment to make sure everything was okay. Now when I take my hands off the wheel, it drifts to the left.
Okay.
You think it's just this old front end? You know, it's not rock solid.
Okay,
like
this is what you do. You stand outside the car. Does it have power steering?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to stand outside the car, and you're going to have your wife with her hand on the passenger front tire, and you're going to look at the driver's front tire, and you're going to put your hand, the car's running, it's the parking brake is on, you're going to put your hand at 12 o'clock, and you're going to reach out, or you're going to stand outside, and you're going to look at that left front tire, and you're going to move it left about 3 inches, and then right about 3 inches. Now your wife is going to put her hand on the tire and watch your steering wheel. So if you move the steering wheel and there's a delay between you me seeing your tire move, that's your problem. If there's a delay and her hand says no, and then it says, oh yes, but there's a delay, then it's the problems on her side. But let me explain something to you. Your old car, we don't align it with factory specifications. Here's what we do. We know that a crowned road is always going to push a car a little bit to the right. We know that. So if we say to you, are you going to drive city or highway? And if they go city, I'm going to dial a little bit of change in the settings just to where it'll hug the road. But if you get on a real flat road, it's going to drift a little left, but I'm compensating for the crown on the road. So us old guys know how to do that. There's no problem. You can do it with caster. You can do it with camber. Typically, we're going to, and we can do it a variety of ways, but we're just going to make it go straight on a crowned road because I think that's what your issue is. What part of town do you live in?
North Scottsdale.
Okay. I'd just call Blackwell and tell him that Salem said you don't have a prayer in hell in fixing this, but would you like to try? And he'll call me.
Blackwell do alignment?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he does old cars, too. When you walk in there, you're going to see a whole bunch of old hot rods. And they're putting rack and pinion steering in them. They're putting big motors in them. They take your Thunderbird and put a big old 460 Ford in there if that's what you wanted. So, yeah, he's well-versed on the old cars, and he's a very good alignment tech. So the answer is yes.
Yeah, the mechanic told me these old cars with the front end, they're difficult to... They're never going to be as rock solid as the newer.
And you know, that's just BS. Here's another thing you do, is the highways are more flat than the city streets because the city streeters crown to the right because we run the water into the curbs. So get in it on a Sunday morning and drive down the freeway on both ways, northbound on the 17, then turn around and come southbound. And then I want you to pay attention. Is there a drift to the left? Now, when you get on the city road that's got a crown, same thing. Just drive, get on Camelback Sunday morning, nobody else is out there, and just drive. And does it pull to the left or the right? Here's the deal. City, it'll drift to the right. City, it'll drift to the right, and we can dial that in with the alignment. On a flat road, it'll go straight down the road. So a highway versus the city crowned road, those are the two extremes that you need to go drive your car. And make sure that the inflation's even on both sides.
Yeah, they're new tires. Okay, thanks for your help.
You bet you. Good luck to you. My email is mark@marksalem.com, mark@salemboysauto.com. Salem Boys is a something that we came up with when we started doing car repair work in 79. Actually, Ahwatukee Mobile was our first stop, and then we did Salem Boys Auto when we moved to McClintock, and I think it was Guadalupe. And then we moved into our new facility in 1979. It's at Warner Road and I-10. I got another caller. Who might that be?
Say hello to Joe.
Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Good. I Subaru Outback. Now, I don't know if this is in your bailiwick, but my Subaru Outback has blind spot warning, which I definitely wanted. But I'm old school, and I want it to beep and not only blink because, you know, sometimes I'm distracted and I need extra warning that there's something to the right or left of me when I'm, you know, going into another lane. Now, Subaru says they don't have it. My girlfriend has a Kia Sorento 2016, and it does. Some cars do.
Okay. We're going to be up against the time frame here. I would talk to a stereo system shop. I'd call them around and ask them if they can put cameras on your car and tell them you already have a screen and can they interface to your screen. This is not something that you're just going to hire somebody to do. This is very sophisticated. But I'm thinking
yeah.
A separate camera with you, what you want, which is either a horn blowing or, you know, starts
right.
Music or whatever. You want your eyes and your ears to know that there's somebody over there. My wife just bought a Jeep, and it talks to her. And we had to adjust the mirrors so that we could pick up that blind spot. But the camera back there immediately starts squawking. If we turn on our turn signal, that's number one, and we start steering to the right, then it turns into a horn. But the idea is your Subaru is way too old for any of that technology. So I'm thinking another camera, another small camera on the right side in your blind spot. Now, you want them both sides or just one side?
I would like, well, preferably on the right side, but
okay.
Definitely it would be nice on both sides. But you say I need two cameras then.
Yeah, but another thing you can do is you can get those little blind spot mirrors that are about 3 inches in diameter, and you can stick them to the outside rearview mirror, which picks up that blind spot with no problem. It picks up the whole side of your car, plus another 45, 50 degrees out. So you could put a blind, and, you know, they're $3 at Walmart. So, and
yeah,
they,
I understand.
Yeah,
I understand.
Just go buy one and where it belongs. People will put it in the top left and the top right and the bottom left and the bottom right. It belongs on the bottom left. So stick that camera in the bottom left of your external rear view mirror on the passenger side. And the reason I know that is because I just went through this with my wife. She has a new Jeep, and she says, I got a bad blind spot. So we went to Walmart, and we bought two of those, and I put one on each side. And she says she loves it. And she has cameras on this front and back, but they don't pick up blind spots. So anyway, that's the best I can offer you, Joe. Good luck to you. I'll be here next week, and we'll talk about cars. And if you have a question or if you have a problem, you can email me, mark@marksalem.com. If you'll give me a phone number, I'd like to call you back because I'd like to ask you questions. And that's kind of what's important, is asking you questions. So does it do it when you turn right, or does it do it when you turn left? In order for anybody to diagnose your car, there has to be a give and take. And there has to be, when does it pull to the left? Well, it's on the freeway, it pulls to the left. Does it pull to the left on a highway, on the city street? No. Well, we got an alignment where we're drifting to the left on a flat road, but on a curved road, on a one with a hump in the middle of it, which is city streets, because we're running the water to the curbside, then that's a different alignment. So that kind of question and answer is important. Mark@marksalem.com. Thank you for spending your Saturday with me. I'll be back next week, and we'll talk cars, and you're welcome to join us from 10 to 12. This was a